Welcome to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Kei te whakarongo mai koe ki te reo irirangi kotahi. You are listening to R1 News here on 91 FM. Ko Gemma Aho. Today we are speaking to Jeannie Hayden from Wild Dunedin about the upcoming New Zealand Festival of Nature and how it promotes environmentally friendly action. Our team member Athena Kunke has spoken to Bethany Elsden about how COVID and the constant changes to life are affecting emerging artists in Aotearoa. After that, we'll be speaking to Jemima Lorimer, media extraordinaire, about the new film Everything Everywhere All at Once. Now we have Eileen Corcoran on to give us the news for the day.
This is the news on Radio 191 FM.
Tēnā koutou, ko Eileen tēnei. COVID-19 Response Minister Chris Hipkin says there was no great conspiracy to keep public health advice in support of phasing out the MIQ system a secret. In early November, Director of Public Health Dr. Caroline McIlnay and Director General of Health Dr. Ashley Bloomfield agreed that the current MIQ system was no longer justified on public health grounds. Dr. McIlnay said the risk posed by international arrivals transmitting COVID-19 was no longer higher than the domestic transmission risk of COVID-19. In late November, Hipkins announced that MIQ would be removed for most travellers from Australia in mid-January, and from other destinations in mid-February. However, in late December, these dates were pushed back in order to minimise the spread of the Omicron variant. Hipkins says there was no conspiracy to keep the advice a secret, and that Omicron, quote, changed the game. However, some who were impacted by the MIQ lottery system in the weeks between the advice being given to the government and the announcement of the phasing out of MIQ are calling for compensation. Inflation is expected to rise in the coming weeks, according to Finance Minister Grant Robertson. The inflation figure for the first quarter of the financial year is expected to be released tomorrow, and Robertson says commentators are all predicting an increase this quarter and possibly next quarter. Last week, the Reserve Bank increased the official cash rate to 1.5%, the highest increase seen since 2000. Speaking to Morning Report yesterday, Robertson said inflation was on the rise globally, driven by supply chain issues and the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as the Russian invasion of Ukraine. He said fuel excise duty and road user charge cuts may help to keep inflation in check, but ruled out cutting GST to some food products. This morning, National Party leader Chris Luxon said excessive government spending was to blame, and that other countries such as Singapore, Australia and Japan are facing the same challenges, yet keeping inflation low. Robertson would not speculate on what the inflation rate may rise to. In the United States and United Kingdom, inflation has reached 8%. COVID hospitalizations in the South reached a record 34 yesterday, with two patients in intensive care. 12% of yesterday's new COVID cases are in the Southern DHB, with a total of 6,432 active cases in the region, 12% of all active cases. The DHB covers 6.5% of New Zealand's population. According to epidemiologists, regional peaks in hospitalisation can be expected about a fortnight after cases peak. The Southern DHB recorded its highest case numbers, 1,631, just under a month ago on March 23rd, though cases have remained high. And those were the headlines on the R1 News. Now, the weather.
The Radio 1 91 FM weather.
I tēnei rā, Otipoti can expect a high of 20 and a low of 15, with some cloud and northeasterly winds. Tomorrow, expect a high of 21 and a low of 9, with rain throughout the day and a southerly change predicted in the evening.
love to hate you, like a pack of cigarettes. I know what I want, I just ain't there yet. My paper tiger, keep your claws to yourself. Ain't fooling no one, so shut your mouth. I told you that night when you're acting like you're on your throne. Spilling my drink, being a prick, not as cool as you think. And I told you last week when I sold you that ounce. My paper tiger, shut your mouth.
Bloodshot eyes. I see our dreams and demons, and we collide.
You make me sweat. You make me sweat. You got your rope on my chest and you're biting my neck. You make me sweat. Okay, okay, okay. I'm in over my. Kick the habit, you know I've got to have it. My paper tiger, got me like an addict.
And when I see you through these bloodshot eyes, I see our dreams and demons and we collide.
You make me sweat. You make me sweat. You got your rope on my chest.
That was Summer Thieves with Paper Tiger, and before that we had Alex G with Gretel. We had Eileen Corcoran giving us the news for the day, and now we are joined by Jeannie Hayden to discuss Wild Dunedin's annual Festival of Nature, which begins on International Earth Day, April 22nd, and runs till April 28th. The Festival of Nature invites people of all ages and walks of life to join in and engage with the events centred around topics such as sustainability, art, and Dunedin's marine wildlife. Hi, Jeannie, how are you?
Hi, kia ora, Gemma. Thank you for talking to us.
Of course. So what inspired the theme of Our Sea for the New Zealand Festival of Nature this year?
It actually was a theme that we've been wanting to do for quite a few years. In fact, we had it lined up for 2021, but as we had to cancel our rewilding festival in 2020 because of COVID, we had to move it out. So we had been promising New Zealand Marine Studies at Otago University. We've worked really closely with them over the years, and they have been really looking forward to actually getting an event that is about their territory, the sea, and the coastline that goes into the sea. So it's called Down to the Sea, which we wanted to also emphasise that whatever happens on land does affect the little critters that live in the sea. So we have a variety of events all around the sea. Marine studies have a huge number of events all happening, and a lot of them are around our first day, which is on Earth Day at St Kilda Beach. We're hoping the weather's going to be fine. The forecast isn't very good, but we are going to be doing a huge land art structure, sculpture out of sand and all the debris that comes up to the beach. And so marine studies are also doing roaming the seashore, looking at rock pools and things. We're going to have people from DOC talking about how to keep your dog safe on the beach, because now sea lions are becoming so numerous around our coastline that they're parking up on our popular beaches like St Kilda and St Clair. So it's to really teach people how to keep them safe and their dogs safe. And also, while this land art is happening, it's going to be a live stream, because we have had a number, even within our committee, dropping out with COVID. So a number of people are isolating, and so we have three events that are going to be live streamed. so people can go onto our program and click that they're interested in listening to it. It's going to be what you call slow TV, because they will see this artwork being created over a 3 to 4 hour period with some volunteers. So it's a community art event, but we do have international land artists who are supervising it and have come up with the concept. So that's how we're going to start our festival.
Yeah.
At the sea.
Your website says there's over 100 events that will be happening during this festival. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit about another event that you're very excited about?
What we have done this year, because we had regional event funding, we had to make the festival open or more attractive to even a wider interest areas in the community. So we have included more restaurants for the dining public who want to go and experience dining either with wild food or with sustainable food, because we are looking at trying to make and have sustainable living quite a strong arm to our festival and the growing that side. So probably the first event that just went sold out within a day was the George Street Orchard. So this is Rory Harding, who's situated on George Street itself, and he manages to grow an incredible range of subtropical fruit and food all year round on one of those sort of large back sections, and it's quite incredible. But so people are very interested, we have discovered, that they're very interested in getting into becoming more sustainable themselves. So that's an area we're going to continue to grow. And this year we're doing something else that's quite different, and that we're theming a whole day at the museum. And on the Saturday we've got another whole theme, which is called Wild About the Sea. And so it's focusing a lot of our events all about going on boats and doing events on the harbour. We just hope the weather will play ball for that on Saturday. But on next Wednesday, there's a whole day in the museum on sea lions and seals. And we thought we would have a day in. It's from Little Leith with a puppet show right through to in the evening for, which will be very interesting for quite a few of your North Island students who are interested in surfing. Up north you're not likely to see as many sea lions in the surf. So we have photographer and surfer Derek Morrison giving a talk on how to behave around sea lions. And probably a lot about, he names them all, he knows them all, and he works with the Sea Lion Trust. So he's going to tell lots of nice anecdotes about some of the characters. And I think that's really quite important, because if you learn about an animal, you no longer become so afraid. And we've done the same with spiders in the the city library. We've got a spider expert to talk about spiders, because often the fear is not knowing and having these automatic fears of something big or something scary like a spider. So that's what we see our job as, is making them a bit more so you understand them and probably less afraid of them and less likely to squash them or lash out at a sea lion, which I think people, if they did that, would come off second best.
Yes, definitely. how has the recent change to Orange Light affected the event planning for the festival?
Because it only happened right at the end, we have all the festival events were planned under the red traffic light regulations. So we do have limited numbers at events, but we, like, say, for our Land Art Day, if by a miracle it's a beautiful sunny day and we get lots of people at the beach then, because it's outside, we don't have to worry about keeping it to 100. I don't expect that many people will turn up anyway, but it is, it means that we don't have to worry about that end of things. But all our events have been planned under red, because we feel, and we ask that everyone wears masks for indoor activities, because COVID is raging through the city and we want to keep people safe. So we have really kept, except we're not doing the vaccine passes. So that's made a huge difference. That'll make a huge difference for us, just not to have to manage that. So, but we are asking people to keep social distance, wear masks inside, and our events have been planned so that there's not too many people in one place at one time.
Amazing. And lastly, how is Wild Dunedin's Festival of Nature planning on targeting the many different audiences we have here in Dunedin?
Well, we try our best to target as wide an audience as possible. We, of course, we really are focusing, because we are in the school holidays, we focus probably about 50% of our program on family audiences, because we feel the young children, to encourage young people to get into nature will be something they will carry on all the rest of their life. And it's very impressive when you talk to some of these young children. They know so much more than we ever did about nature at their age. And they have to know, because we need to be friends with nature to actually try to fix what's gone wrong. And so we focus quite a bit on getting families out into nature. We have events all over the city, not just in inside venues. Luckily, we do have some inside venues if the weather really turns custard, but we do, we're all along the city boundary. And luckily, Dunedin has such a huge city boundary from way up in south of Karatane, right, or Wakawaiti, and then right down to Outram and up into, we haven't really got anything up in the Middlemarch area this year, but we probably will next year, because we're really focused on the coast. But we have events all over the city, so we're hoping that we can encourage the small communities, and our local libraries are all doing events. We're not just concentrating it all in the city library, but quite a bit is in the city, because it also makes easier access for students, because you can't always have transport. Usually we put on wild buses, which take people out to some of our special wild places, but with COVID we decided not to do that, because there's a hesitancy for people to be all together in a bus for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So we're not doing that this year, but we will continue that in other years, just to try to give access to as many people to nature. But we're very lucky in Dunedin. It's all around us. We've got our town belt, which is full of nature, the botanic garden, so there's lots that you can easily walk to. So we're trying to get as wide an audience as possible, because we really want to push that Dunedin is the wildlife capital of New Zealand. And that's why we've claimed it as New Zealand's Festival of Nature, because we do have iconic wildlife here, and we are surrounded by stunning scenery. And in the past, it's been the visitors who've all, you know, been enjoying that. But, you know, there's lots of locals that are discovering that as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jeannie, for talking to us today.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you very much for asking us. And I do hope that you can pick up programs at the Central Library.
Yes.
If you're on a paper program, but your audience will be digital native, so go online to wilddunedin.nz and you'll see the program, and there's plenty of archive stuff in there too. And for all those students out there who would like to volunteer and for future, you know, to be part of our future team, we'd love to hear from you. So do get in touch, because we're looking for lots of young science communicators or just people who are interested in nature.
Perfect. Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you.
Now we have an interview with Bethany Elston. Bethany Elston is an emerging artist here in Aotearoa. Athena Kunke from our team sat down with her to discuss what life is like as an emerging artist during COVID. With traffic light changes, venue restrictions and more, artists are forced to be more fluid in their scheduling and lives now more than ever.
I'm joined with Bethany Elston, a local Dunedin artist. Thanks for joining.
Happy to be here.
So I kind of wanted to start off with where, with what you studied and how your passion started for you.
Sure. So I came to Otago for a multitude of reasons, and I studied psychology and theatre studies, and I did a minor in music. My idea was always to come and then like chop one of the subjects off, like after I kind of figured out what I wanted to do. And so I was like, going through first year, just trying all three of them. And then I liked all three of them, so I just kept going with it, and I made my degree like more cramped and bigger. And so I've come out with sort of a qualification in all of those. But it wasn't really till last year that I kind of figured out that I'm not really going to be fulfilled unless I follow music like as a career. And I think a lot of creatives kind of feel that way. They'll be pressured through the school system to kind of choose like a safer option, just because the idea of making a career out of a hobby is kind of parallel universe to some people. And so I think I took psychology as the safe route, but that's not even safe. Like, do not get me started. So I was kind of like, I feel like I should just give it a go. I've had a lot of people like believe in me. It's clearly something I'd do even if I weren't getting paid, which is, you know, that means that there's a drive behind it. And you're young and you want to see where it goes. And so I just decided last year to kind of finally get into it, start recording some music, start putting songs out there. And yeah, so we're just in the very early stages of building a career.
Yeah, so how has being such a new artist during the pandemic been for you? Did you have much of a start before the pandemic, or was most of it during?
Yeah, not really. I think the most I did before the pandemic were like university performances, and even then I don't think I had like the fire underneath me to like really go out searching for gigs and stuff. Like I didn't think I was good enough. I had a lot of like imposter syndrome, and now my opinion is kind of like, it doesn't matter, like go find the gigs yourself, go and perform what you want to perform. So I feel like with COVID, it's kind of good because everything's really jumping online these days. I feel like the music industry is now so centered around things like TikTok, where people will upload their song and it'll blow up and then everyone will use it. And then they've kind of got like an instant fan base. And so I feel like in a way, a lot of musicians are striving more towards promotion and self-promo rather than like gigging, which is sad because I feel like gigging forms a way better connection with an artist. But I guess it's like whatever you can do to kind of make progress with your career. But definitely for me, I wasn't even gigging beforehand. And so that's only just going to be starting up now that Orange Light is available and things are opening.
Yeah, I was going to ask, so now that we're in Orange Light, so these opportunities are going to arise, I guess, due to the amount of venues that are starting to open up?
yeah, I definitely feel like everyone has been wanting just a teensy bit more social life, whether that's like they want their 21st back or they want to just go to town and actually have a boogie. The last time I went to town before Orange Light, I had to be told to sit down because I kept getting up and trying to dance. But I feel like the gigs that I would do would probably be allowed in Red Light anyway, but it just is about the idea that people are happy to go out and feel comfortable and they don't have to show their vaccine pass, you know, so it's like it's more open for everyone to enjoy, which is really good.
Right. So I guess social media has created such a good platform for artists, especially new artists like yourself who do want to, yeah, create a bit of a fan base, and online's kind of a good alternative since the pandemic. Do you think that's kind of like the way things are going to start steering?
Yeah, I feel like I see lots of things about how, let's say record labels, which I don't even know is where I'm aiming for, because I feel like there's a lot of new sort of chatter about how staying independent is probably the best way to go. But record labels would be looking for people with entire fan bases kind of already cemented, just because there are platforms on social media that you're able to grow yourself. And they're kind of like, why would we bother taking a chance on someone when we've got like a clear person who already has people ready to listen? So I guess it's just about them wanting to invest their money wisely. So I feel like that's definitely the direction everyone needs to go in now, and just really working on having people that would be available and open to listening to your music, because if you don't have that, then people aren't going to want to pay to like distribute it further. There's a lot of mind games. I'm very, very new to it, so I am just trying to focus on like the creative side right now, and then I'll worry about the promotion later.
I've never thought of it like how, I guess, obviously record labels don't want to, well, like back in the day, I think they wouldn't want to take a chance on an artist that is in a genre which isn't mainstream at the time, because they would be considered risky. But nowadays, I feel like if you have that fan base, no matter what, you're not a risk.
Yeah, for sure. And it's kind of like, I was just watching Bohemian Rhapsody, and there's that scene where they've played Bohemian Rhapsody for the guy that's distributing them. And he's like, I'm not putting this on the radio. Like, it's garbage. It's not about anything. No one can relate to it. And they walked out and they were like, you will always be known as the man who lost Queen. And Queen were totally right, because I feel like from, I don't know what point it started in terms of like music history, but everyone is always looking for like different, you know, they don't just want the same thing churned out by every artist. So I think now that people grow their own fan bases as well, it's more to do with people having a personal connection with that musician, and not just like, they can sing really well. It's more about what the person has to say. So that's like, that's a positive aspect, despite the kind of business side of it and them just wanting to make a profit.
Okay, well, for my last question, any advice for young artists and creatives out there about to or thinking, considering going in on their craft full time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I feel like you just have to stay really strong in what you want to create, because as soon as you start putting pressure on it as a thing you're doing for money or a thing you're doing for other people's approval, or because obviously you want other people to listen to it and enjoy it, but at the end of the day, it's your craft and it's what sets you alight while you're doing it that is what's going to be like attractive to other people. It's not about writing like an artist that you admire. You have to write as yourself, or, you know, create, paint, whatever it is that you want to do. So I just think stay really true to yourself, as cliche as that is, because you just, you can't do it for anyone else but because of your passion, and then everything else will hopefully work itself out. Let's be optimists here.
That was Athena Kunke talking to Bethany Elston about life and the focuses of young and new emerging artists in Aotearoa. Now we are joined by Jemima Lorimer, media extraordinaire, to talk about Everything Everywhere All at Once. Everything Everywhere All at Once is a new film that dabbles in interdimensionality and our purpose for existence. Directed by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, commonly known as The Daniels, the film has a stellar cast starring Michelle Yeoh, Ke Huy Quan, and Stephanie Su. Hi, Jemima.
Hi, Jemima. Thank you for having me.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about the movie.
So essentially, I guess plot-wise, it's about this woman who is an immigrant. She's about, I would say, like in her like coming close to 50s age. She's got a rebellious daughter, and she finds out that she is connected to all these other timelines, even though she's just running this laundromat, which is going broke. And so she has to pretty much essentially become superhero-like to save her business and the world, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's great. And I mean, the idea behind the film sort of gets into this nihilist and that kind of mindset.
Yeah, for sure. It's very like, why do we exist, and what moves us forward through each day, essentially. Yeah.
What's the greater point of all this?
True.
Yeah. I know there was some casting significance as well. I don't know if you heard about this. Originally it was supposed to be Jackie Chan's return to cinema.
Oh, really?
But they decided to cast Michelle Yeoh instead as the main character, which is really cool. And I think it's great because it's sort of, you know, they have a stellar front-running cast of all Asian actors, like the main four characters, and they... the family dynamics and everything that goes into it, as well as picking, I don't know, actors that aren't the most popular names, is really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Man, that's, I didn't know that, but that's very cool. And Michelle Yeoh was absolutely, like, amazing. She played it so, so well and just, yeah, really carried it.
Yeah. Would you like to give us three reasons to go see the movie?
Yeah. I reckon one of the biggest reasons is just because it's so chaotic and, like, a very relentless film. Like, it never stops with just the action. So if you want something to just bring you into, like, another world, definitely go see it. Number two, what I really loved about it was just its very real depictions of immigrant life and it just not being glamorized, just being quite real and portraying this very... you know, kind of messy but hopeful family dynamic, which I absolutely loved. And I guess number three, just go because of all the really fun timelines you get to experience, which are either very, very trippy or just really, really hilarious and funny. It's, yeah, just a fantastic film.
Yeah, we both were just talking about how when we went and saw it, the movie theatres were just roaring with laughter the whole time. It's absolutely amazing. Everyone seems to find a way to relate to the movie as well. Mm. It sort of touches everyone in a very unique way.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Like, coming out of it, just everyone was buzzing and talking about it or just, like, kind of, like, awestruck, which is, it's fun. I feel like it was a very, like, communal and bonding experience, even though, you know, you're not talking to anyone in the theatre.
Yeah. I know, but sometimes film can do that to you.
For sure.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That was Jemima talking to us about Everything Everywhere All at Once. Now we have Julius Black with Together We Go Down in the Dark.
Hi. You said that loneliness was part of your life, but when you're gonna realize that I'm always beside you, you're like the rush before the start of a fight, a funeral that's passing you by. What a shame that I bite. You live. Tell me that I'm
passed out on the couch, yet happy somehow. Burying my head in the ground. What a shame, but I'll take all the blame.
This has been our news for Wednesday, the 20th of April. Today we spoke to Jeannie Hayden for Wild Dunedin discussing the New Zealand Festival of Nature, which is starting on International Earth Day, which is the 22nd of April. We then heard from Bethany Elsden, an emerging artist, about what being an emerging artist in Aotearoa is like at the moment, as well as how COVID has affected this. And we also spoke to Jemima Lorimer about the new film Everything Everywhere All at Once. Keep it locked on The One. There's more to come. And remember, news is on every day from 11 till 12.
Trouble, it'll be all what it means to me. we sat around the fire. We sat down on the bay after lighting one ciggy and surfing all day. A wee stranger approached and started to say, they want me to believe.
to when I found my thoughts on a train, but I missed the stop. I never ever thought that I could just be.
Kei te tautoko te reo irirangi kotahi ki te reo Māori.
Like, okay, boomer.
Okay, boomer.
Rumor has it though, the changes on the precipice. So listen this emphasis on fronting like a pessimist. Just the soften blows. All the times I gotta know, was a listen or a blessing manifesting in a rotten wall. So it's no more pee yelling out, poor me. I mean, the truth is corny, but sometimes we find ourselves addicted to a narrative of pain and perplexity just to add some character. Yeah, I took a couple L's on the chin just to walk away with a way thicker skin. I count my blessings though, now where do I begin? Even coming off wins was a win. I used to roll around the town like it's what was me. Just found out I'm exactly who I'm supposed to be. Extra, extra, read all about it. I used to hate my baggage, now what would I be without it, huh?
Electrified underwater, baby, I've come alive.
Thanks for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.